Good afternoon and welcome back to the almost weekly shiur on tefillah and Sidur HaTefillah, on prayer and the prayer book. Several weeks ago we had concluded the series not only on the weekday tefillos, the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, but also the Shabbos tefillos, the four special tefillos which we recite during Shabbos, Friday night, Saturday morning, Musaf, and Saturday afternoon at Mincha. Today, it's less than 2 weeks till Tisha B'Av. And I thought that we could devote today and next Thursday, Amir Tzahashem, to a discussion of some of the special tefillos, the special prayers, which are recited on Tisha B'Av. Now, we will not, in this two-part series, be discussing the kinos, be discussing the special poems written mostly in the early Middle Ages, commemorating and mourning for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and for other catastrophes in Jewish history. I will invite you to join me on Sunday of Tisha B'Av, August 14th, either at the Young Israel of Woodmere in New York or on our website, www.ou.org, where we will be reciting the kinos together and I will be explaining and giving background for many of them. But today and next week, I'd like to look at the Siddur itself, and some of the differences in the tefillos on Tisha B'Av. I want to say by way of background that the very notion of prayer on Tisha B'Av is a complicated one. One of the verses in Eicha, in Lamentations, reads, Sakosi be'onon loch me'avor tefilo, that God, as it were, kaveyochol, covered the Jewish people with a sukkah, with a blanket, with a barrier, so that our tefilos could not ascend heavenwards. The experience of the Jews during the terrible destructions of the Churban and other times in our history is that somehow we are praying, but our prayers are not reaching the heavens. They are being blocked. There's a barricade which is impenetrable, and therefore our tefillos kind of bounce back. And this is an experience that we have, and it is a very powerful theological experience. It's the experience of Hester Ponim, of God's hidden face. And Tisha B'Av is a day when we feel that barrier to our prayers. Nevertheless, we pray, certainly the regular tefillos, both Ma'ariv this year on Motzoi Shabbos, and of course Shachris and Mincha on Sunday this year, on Sunday Tisha B'Av itself. Originally, historically, there was not anything special about the tefillos of Tisha B'Av. In the Gemara, for example, we find the little mention of any special tefillos on Tisha B'Av. However, we do find a special tefillah in the Yerushalmi and several paragraphs in Maseches Sofrim which discuss special prayers on Tisha B'Av, not all of which have come down to us in actual practice, at least in actual Ashkenazic practice today. So, for example, the Yerushalmi in Ta'anis reads that Rav Acha bar Yitzchok b'shem Rav Chono Rivo de Tziporin Yochid b'Tisha B'Av Tzoruch lahazkir me'ein hama'ura. Yerushalmi says, in opinion, that an individual person on Tisha B'Av must mention in his prayers Me'ein Hama'ura, something about the events, the tragic events of the day. Just as on a special Yom Tov or on Rosh Chodesh we recite Yal Eviyovo, so too on Tisha B'Av we recite a special prayer. And the actual text of the prayer is somewhat similar to the prayer that we say called Nachem, but it is really different. It begins not Nachem, comfort us, but rather Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, Berachamecha Horabim, God, in your great mercy, have pity upon us, upon the Jewish people, upon Yerushalayim, and upon the city which lies in ruins, which is dominated by aliens, which is oppressed, which is swallowed up by legions, which is profaned by idol worship, because this city belongs to the Jewish people, to your descendants, to your heirs, because you destroyed it in fire, and in fire you will again rebuild it, etc. So this is somewhat similar to the prayer that we recite, and it is mentioned, as I say, in the Yerushalmi, in the Jerusalem Talmud, in Maseches Ta'anis. In Maseches Sofrim, which is a later collection of Braisos, we have the following, that on Tisha B'Av, Arbo'o Psukim Mishel Yirmiyahu, that four selected verses from the prophet Jeremiah are recited, and two psalms, two kapitlech tehillim, the kapitel of Bo Elokim Bo Goyim Benachal Osecha, and the kapitel of Al Naharos Bovel. And there it is recorded that there are some who read the book of Kinos, which means the book of Echa, on Tisha B'Av in the evening. Some delay it, postpone it until after Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. After the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, the Maseches Sofrim records a custom that someone from the congregation would stand, would roll his head in ash, would spread and put his clothing into disarray, and would read the Megillah of Echa with Bechia V'Yalala, with tears and with cries. If he could translate it, fine. If not, give it to someone else to translate, and the other person should translate it so that all women and children and everyone could understand it. So we have here the record of the recitation of the Megillah of Echa in the shul on Tisha B'Av, according to some customs in the evening, which is our custom, according to other customs in the morning after Kriyas HaTorah. And we also have recorded that this whole Megillah was translated from the Hebrew into the language Aramaic, or the language understood by the people. If this indicates anything to us, we don't have that custom anymore, but it certainly stresses the importance of understanding the Megillah of Echa. And these days there are so many excellent translations and commentaries available in English on Echa that I heartily recommend to you that before Tisha B'Av you prepare yourself and understand the words of Echa, which are the words of the prophet Yirmiyahu, so they have certainly a very, very special meaning. Our custom is to add several kinos, several actual poems, written, again, mostly in medieval times, immediately after Echa, but only a few of them, and then we conclude with words of comfort, words of nechama, words of consolation, and that concludes the evening service, the Ma'ariv service, which this year again is Motsoi Shabbos. Sunday morning, Tisha B'Av morning, when we come to shul, everyone, any observer coming into a shul, will be struck by how different the atmosphere is in shul on Tisha B'Av morning. Not, first of all, people, at least people who are not old and infirm, are sitting either on the floor or on low stools or mats of some sort, rather than in their benches, pews, and chairs. But what's more dramatic is the fact that no one in the shul is wearing a tallis, and no one in the shul is wearing tefillin. If there's anything remarkable about the prayers of Tisha B'Av, at least Tisha B'Av morning, it is not so much for what they are, but for what they are not, what is missing. And what is missing is talis and tefillin. because the Shulchan Aruch rules that we do not wear talis and tefillin in shul in the morning. Our custom is to put on the talis and tefillin in the afternoon by mincha, but not in the morning at shachris, but merely in the morning when one wakes up to put on the talis koton, the small talis under one's shirt or above one's shirt, however one wears it, but not to put on the large talis which we wear in our custom after we're married on Tisha B'Av. And it's interesting that this custom goes back to a medrash. The medrash is based upon a posuk in Eicha, which reads Bitsa Imraso. And the medrash says that Bitsa Imraso means that God boza purpiro dilei. God tore up his cloak, as it were. The talis is, in a way, the cloak or the mantle of God, and that is torn asunder on Tisha B'Av and not worn. Also, the Medrash comments on the verse which reads, and again, a verse from Eicha, from Lamentations, Hishlich mishomayim eretz tiferes Yisrael. God cast down from heaven to earth the glory of Israel. What is the glory of Israel? The tiferes, the pe'er, that is the tefillin. The tefillin is our sign of beauty, and that is thrown off, discarded, cast away on Tisha B'Av. So on Tisha B'Av, when we approach God, we approach Him without the usual physical clothing, so to speak, which we usually wrap ourselves in during prayer, the talis and the tefillin. And this is certainly something important. On Tisha B'Av, during Mincha, according to all customs, again, there are different customs here, but the Ashkenazic dominant custom is that during Shachris, the Shliach Tzibur recites Anenu, we'll come to that in a moment, between Geula and Refuah, Ben Goel Lorofe, but the private person in his individual prayers recites nothing special during the Shachris prayer. But during the Mincha prayer, even a private person recites the tefillah known as Nachem in the Brocha of Bonei Yerushalayim, and the tefillah known as Anenu in the Brocha of Shomeya Tefillah. And I would like to turn to a discussion of these prayers now. I want to say something before we begin with the inclusion of the prayer called Nachem in the Shmoneh Esrei on Mincha. I want to tell you an interesting halacha which will apply to some of you this Tisha B'Av. There are people, obviously we all try to fast on Tisha B'Av, but there are people who are exempt from fasting, people who are ill and weak and who have instructions from their physician not to fast, should not fast. This is true for Yom Kippur as well, but on Tisha B'Av certainly, if a person is ill, he should not fast. I'm not going to go into the rules of who can and who can't fast, but I would advise you, if you have any question and think that perhaps your illness is enough to exempt you from fasting, even if you don't think yourself that it's sufficient, ask your reliable, authoritative Orthodox rabbi and listen carefully to his ruling. If he tells you to eat and to drink, then do so, eat and drink. But if you are eating a meal on Tisha B'Av, legitimately, because you're permitted to eat, then in the Birchas HaMazon, you must recite the prayer of Nachem. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu es avele Tzion ves avele Yerushalayim. And you do include that. Rav Soloveitchik, in an excellent volume which has been put together of his essays, halachic essays, on the topic of Tisha B'Av, points out that the inclusion of Nachem for a sick person is not similar to Ya'ale V'Yovo. It's not an additional prayer, but rather it is an arichus loshon. It is the lengthening and the expansion of the existing prayer. The existing prayer in Birchas HaMazon reads, Rachem no Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha, etc., but woven into that, on Tisha B'Av, for one who legitimately is eating a meal, is the blessing of Nachem. The blessing of Nachem can be found in the Siddur, in Tfilas Mincha, in most Siddurim, immediately part of the bracha of Binyan Yerushalayim, the bracha which begins V'Lirushalayim Ircha. This is, as we studied together some time ago, a special paragraph, a special blessing within the Amida, within Shemona Esrei, which focuses on Jerusalem and our prayers that it be rebuilt. There is no more appropriate place in the Shemona Esrei to mention the theme of Tisha B'Av than in the bracha of V'Lirushalayim Ircha, the bracha of which prays for the restoration and the rebuilding, the eternal rebuilding of Yerushalayim. So let's look together at this prayer, which is a very, very moving one. It begins, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. Es Avele Tzion, the Es Avele Yerushalayim. God Hashem, please console, comfort the mourners of Zion and the mourners of Jerusalem. Now the Mechaber of Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch records that this bracha of Nachem is recited in all of the tfilos of Tisha B'Av, and I understand that this is the custom in Yerushalayim today, to include Nachem in all the tefillos, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon. The Ramah and the Minig Ashkenaz, and certainly the Minig here in the United States of America, is to recite Nachem only at Mincha. And the reason for this is because this is a blessing which in which we pray for comfort, for consolation. Earlier in the day, it's too soon for consolation. We're still mourning. We're still grieving. We are still in pain. It is still bevichinas meso mutol lefonov. The dead person, the catastrophe, is in front of us. It's in front of our eyes. And at that time, it's too soon. It's premature to pray for consolation. Later in the day, mincha time, then it begins to become more appropriate to pray for nechama. We put on our talis and our tefillin. We no longer have to sit on low stools, and we can pray for nechama. This is the rationale for saying it only during mincha later in the day. And we begin with this prayer for comfort. It is important for me to stress here the teaching of Chazal that kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roe b'simchoso. That every person who mourns, truly and sincerely mourns for Jerusalem, will be merited to see its joy, the eventual joy. So we ask God that to console us, those of us who have spent this entire day, indeed the entire past 3 weeks in mourning Jerusalem, indeed all of our lives in some way or other, every day we mourn Jerusalem, but certainly for the past period of time, and certainly today on Tisha B'Av, God comfort us. And comfort es ho'ir ho'avelo v'hachareva v'habezuyo v'hashomema. And comfort the city that is mournful, ruined, scorned, and desolate. How powerful are those words. Avelo charevo bezuyo vishomema. Mournful, ruined, scorned, and desolate. But to drive home these powerful words, the authors of Nachem spell out how it is mournful, how it is ruined, etc. Ho avelo mibli voneho. It is ruined, it is mournful, without her children. There is no greater image of mourning than a mother, a father, without their children. So it is avela mibli boneho. It is mournful without its children. V'hachareva mima'ono seho. And it is ruined without its abodes, without its dwelling places. It's ruined because it's no longer a living city. It is a dead city. People are not living there. There are no communities, no neighborhoods, no old people sitting in the park, and no children at play. V'habezuyo mikavodo. And it is scorned without her glory. Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, when it is built up, when it is restored, when it is rebuilt, is a glorious city, a beautiful city, a city which all look up to and admire and praise. But now it is bezuya, it is shamed, it is embarrassed, it is scorned. V'hashomemo me'ein yoshev, and it is desolate without inhabitants. It's interesting that in recent times there have been authorities who have questioned whether today we can continue to speak of Jerusalem in such negative terms. After all, Baruch Hashem, today Jerusalem is full of people. Children are at play there. There are shops and there are markets and there are shuls and bote midroshim and there are hospitals and there are institutions and Baruch Hashem. It is no longer Avela, Shomema, Bezuya, and Shomema. And there was even the suggestion that perhaps this prayer be abandoned or modified. But the truth is that much of Yerushalayim today is still desolate and still without its children. We refer especially to the Makom HaMikdash, to the site upon which the Holy Temple was. Jews can barely appear there. If they do, they're strictly limited. We do not have access, certainly not halachic access, and not political access, to various places where the temple was or which were near the temple. And whole sections of the city are not open to Jewish people, are not being rebuilt in the spirit of Judaism, but rather being rebuilt either by our enemies or sometimes by our own people who build their buildings which are not consistent with our values. So in all of these ways, Jerusalem still is not out of the woods, so to speak. There is still plenty to mourn. There is still much that is ruined and scorned and desolate, and for which we pray that they be restored. The prayer continues. V'hi yosheves, the city is sitting there. V'rosho chafui, and its head is covered. Ki isha akoro shelo yoloda, like a barren woman who never gave birth. Yerushalayim, many times in Tanakh, in the words of our Nevi'im, and in our prayers, is compared to a woman. And Yerushalayim, in its ruin, is compared either to a widowed woman, or in this case, to a barren woman. Vayevalu'uha ligyonos, vayirashuha ovdei zorim. And it is devoured by legions, legions referring to the Roman armies, Roman legions, and idolaters have conquered her. Vayotilu es amcha Yisroel lechorev, vayahargu v'zodon chaside elyon. And they have cast your people to the sword, and have wantonly murdered the devout servants of the Supreme One of God. And here too, when we think of the many who have died on the streets of Yerushalayim simply because they were Jews, throughout the centuries, but even in our own time, even in very, very recent times, of buses bombed, of malls in which explosives were triggered, and people, innocent people, pious people, old people, young people, were killed on the streets of Yerushalayim, and we think of them in this prayer when we think of a phrase such as Vayahargu v'zodon chaside elyon. They wantonly killed those pious, devout servants of God. Al kein Zion b'mar tivkeh. The prayer goes on to say, therefore, Zion, Zion weeps bitterly. V'lirushalayim titen kolo, and Jerusalem raises her voice. Libi, libi al chalaleihem. Notice the beautiful poetry. My heart aches for those who have been slain. May I al chalaleihem. My innards ache for those who have been killed. Ki ato Hashem bo'eish hitzato. And then we get to the cause, the divine cause of the destruction ultimately, and ultimately the cause of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And we say, Ki ato Hashem bo'eish hitzata, God, you consumed her with fire, you kindled the fire of her destruction. The destruction of Jerusalem came as a punishment for our sins, a divine punishment. Uvo'eish ato osid livnoso, and with fire you will rebuild her. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with fire, either the fire of war or perhaps the fire of enthusiasm, the heavenly fire, the divine fire, which will be a building fire, a fire of construction and warmth and light and healing, and not a fire of destruction and ruin. Ka'amur, as the Pasuk says, as the prophet Zechariah says, Va'ani ehe, in the name of God, Va'ani ehe yeloh n'um Hashem, I will be for her, says God, Chomas eish saviv, a wall of fire all around, and I will be glorious in her midst. Baruch atah Hashem, Menachem Tzion uvonei Yerushalayim. God, you are the source of all blessing. You console Tzion, Zion, and you rebuild Yerushalayim. So this is the special tefillah of Nachem, which we ask for comfort on this day of Tisha B'Av. All of us will include it in the Shemona Esrei, on Tisha B'Av for Mincha. Many of us will include it for Ma'ariv and Shachris as well. Some of us will even include it in the Birchas HaMazon if they are forced to eat because of their infirmity or weakness or illness. I want to say, as time for this particular class draws to a close, that next week we will focus on the second major new prayer special for Tisha B'Av. That's the prayer of Anenu. Actually, that prayer is not just for Tisha B'Av, but for all major fast days. And here too, we include it during Mincha, the individual prayer. Individual person who prays includes it in the bracha of Shomea Tfila, the bracha which begins Shema Kolenu. And the Shliach Tzibur includes it earlier in the Shemona Esrei. But we will focus on that prayer then. In the meantime, I want to urge you to use the next week and a half or so until Tisha B'Av as a time to study such works as the Megillah of Eicha, to reflect upon Jewish tragedy throughout history, to reflect upon the Jewish tragedies that occur in our contemporary times, but especially to look back upon the glory of Yerushalayim, the glory of the holy temples, and how they have been destroyed, and how Jewish life has been really a parade of tragedy and catastrophe for the almost 2,000 years since the temples were destroyed. And to remember throughout all of it the guarantee of Chazal that kol ha-misabel al Yerushalayim, a person who authentically, properly, deeply, profoundly, personally mourns for Jerusalem, zoche v'roeh b'simchasa, will one day be privileged to see Jerusalem not only at peace, but in joy, in simcha, in happiness, as it is rebuilt b'mehera v'yomeinu amen. A good Shabbos, and we'll speak to you again next Thursday at 12:30.
Okay, 30 minutes?
Ricky always ties me. He said I'm usually within 30 seconds or 30 minutes.
What's the time on that?
28 minutes. How do you like that?